Our first scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. In this passage, Jesus is giving final instructions to the disciples before his ascension. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." And our second passage is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, verses and 15 through 16. "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality for strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, 'I will never leave you or forsake you.' So we can say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?' Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." This is the word of the Lord. There are certain rules we learn as children. One rule that I learned and that I've even taught my child is to not talk to strangers and to not go anywhere with a stranger. But that rule was a little bit confusing for me as I grew up, because some of my earliest memories from age 2 and 3 onward involve coming home and seeing strangers in our living room and strangers at our dinner table. You see, I grew up in the 1980s, and the church my family was part of was a host church for Cambodian refugees. At this time, churches were partnered with refugee families, and mission committees worked to find them housing and jobs and food. But it wasn't just my church, it was the whole community of Holland, Michigan that was doing this, a whole group of churches, all denominations working together. And my mom was part of that mission committee of our community. So I have memories of going with strangers in our car to doctor's appointments, sitting in the lobby of Prince Corporation, a local automotive parts company, because my mom knew of somebody who was a friend from high school who could get this friend a job. This was my life. I would go shopping to the grocery store, and my parents owned rental properties and always gave one apartment to a new family who just needed to get on their feet. Over the years, this mission project evolved, and these families that our church welcomed became friends. And they formed their own church within my home church, a nesting community, so that they could speak their language and worship God in Cambodian. And now the Cambodian Christian Reformed Church of Holland is its own independent church. This was just hospitality, just what you do. My mom was always talking to strangers. It was her spiritual gift, I think, or because she was in sales, some combination. In fact, fast forward to our wedding day in 2004, and my mom is chatting it up in the lobby of the conference center, which is to host our wedding reception. She meets a guest that does not have dinner plans, and what does she do? She invites this stranger to our wedding reception, and he comes and sits at the head table with my parents. This was my mom. Except it wasn't just her personality, it was her conviction as a Christian to welcome the stranger. You see, she was the child of German immigrants, and she knew what it was like to be a stranger and to have parents that didn't speak the language very well, and she had such compassion for these strangers. Little did I know growing up that welcoming a stranger and having them sit at your table or helping them across race, across religion, across culture, was in fact breaking all sorts of rules, at least if you follow the rules of our world today. In our world today, there's lots of rules, lots of fear, and we're putting up walls metaphorically because there's fear. And that's the context for our passage from Hebrews. The writer to the community of Hebrews is writing to a community who is afraid, because they've been persecuted by the Roman Empire. They've been martyred for their faith. They're feeling very weak and vulnerable as a congregation. And so the writer to the Hebrews sends them a sermon that they can read as a church to be reminded of who they are as God's people. Hebrews isn't quite a letter. It is a sermon, and it goes on for 13-plus chapters to remind them of who they are as God's children, to remind them of why they came together in the first place to follow Jesus, because of Jesus' transforming love. And so, as with any good sermon, there's a summary at the end in case you fell asleep halfway through. And chapter 13 is that summary. It begins with several admonitions, things for them to remember and not forget. It's a very similar list of admonitions to those that Jesus gave his disciples in Matthew 25 and that we read throughout all of Scripture, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and the Old Testament. Welcome the stranger, love them, care for those who are the least of these. The first announcement to the congregation is to show mutual love, or Philadelphia in the Greek. And then hospitality to strangers. Now, hospitality to strangers and welcoming the strangers was a cultural norm in those days. If you lived in the biblical times and traveled, there were inns, and they were not very safe places to live. They were unsavory, which puts Mary and Joseph staying at an inn in context. In fact, people avoided inns, and so it was common for travelers to stop in a village at the water well or another gathering place, and to be welcomed by a person of that town into their home. People would carry letters of reference with them so that they could show that they were trustworthy and worthy of this hospitality. But this isn't just any sort of hospitality that the writer is commanding to the Hebrew church. The Hebrew says, I want you to welcome the stranger, that is, those on the fringes of society, not those that have a letter of reference and can get into your home. Remember all those who are in prison, the rest of the passage says. Meaning, remember those that are forgotten and the least of these. That's the stranger I want you to welcome. So this command to welcome the stranger isn't to just be nice and be friendly, but to show hospitality, to invite them into your home, to sleep in your bed, to eat from your table, to break bread with your family and encounter you in your most vulnerable place or your private place, your home. This sort of hospitality is justice, and this sort of hospitality is countercultural because it requires everybody to do something that is vulnerable. It's risky to invite someone into your home, especially one that you don't know is trustworthy or not. And yet that's exactly what this church is being invited, commanded to do. Just hospitality like this was a tremendous challenge. Again, remember, this church is afraid right now. They're feeling vulnerable already, and here they're being asked, no, commanded, to put themselves at even more risk. They're already on the margins of society. They're already deemed crazy for following Jesus, and yet here they are, called to risk the bread of their table and the bed in their home to welcome strangers. If you're already being persecuted and afraid, to follow a command like that requires something of you. It requires faith and trust. Now, today, hospitality has different cultural norms. Unlike the early church, we have plenty safe hotels and motels where strangers can come and stay. If you drive up and down Interstate 43, there are a number of restaurants where you can purchase a meal. And so today we pay for our hospitality. In fact, when we do experience hospitality that's free, we're taken aback and a little bit wary. Does this person want to take advantage of me? In fact, a member of our pastor's Bible study shared a story. They were traveling abroad in Ireland, and they were a little bit turned around, trying to figure out where they needed to go on their journey. So they stopped at a grocery store and asked the store clerk for directions. How do I catch a cab? The grocery store clerk said, just wait a few minutes. I'm almost done with my shift. And she took these church members of ours into her car and gave them a ride several miles away to where they needed to go. The couple remarked in Bible study how memorable that was. She took the time to help them, strangers who she didn't even know, and they were able to find their way. The norm in our society is to be disconnected and to move about our day-to-day lives as strangers. Starbucks has observed this and built a business plan on our lack of community. Baristas are recruited for their extroverted personalities, and they're trained to show radical hospitality, so much so that they know your name and your drink order. I know this from firsthand experience. Our church was under construction for the last year and a half, and so I had no office. So the Starbucks across from the church was where I made my office. I got to know the baristas and their story, learned about how they were trained, and was fascinated by this. You have a cozy, warm community in Starbucks, and you start to know the regular visitors and their story. But that's not just hospitality. That sort of hospitality, as wonderful as it is a commodity. You still have to pay for that cup of coffee to sit in the corner and use their free Wi-Fi. And so we've become strangers to each other and mired down in fear. There's a theologian named Henry Nouwen who I really love, and he notes this. He says, we as Americans are in a world full of strangers. We're estranged from our past, from our culture, from our country, from our neighbors and friends and family, and from our deepest selves, the parts of ourselves that God wants to know. He goes on, in a world of strangers, fear, anger, and hostility build walls between people and chip away at our communal soulfulness. Nouwen suggests that if there's any concept worth restoring for Christians to really work on, hospitality is that practice. And he defines hospitality this way, the creation of a free space where strangers become friends, not to change people, but to offer space where change can take place. It's risky to welcome the stranger. There's a reason why we tell our children to be wary of strangers. But perhaps we can take Nouwen's advice as well. The book of Hebrews challenges us to set aside our fear and to trust that God is at work, that God is faithful, and that God will continue to walk with us, even to uncertain places. And our passage from Hebrews and from Matthew reminds us that this sort of hospitality, this risky hospitality of welcoming the stranger, is what it means to follow Jesus in this world. Because in our world, hospitality and welcome has become a commodity. And to counter that, our church opens its doors for free to anyone who wishes to come in, to anyone who has the courage to walk in. And in a world where fear is rampant, this is a gift. Just hospitality described here in Hebrews has no strings attached. It reminds us that we are called to be different. Now, thankfully, we don't extend this radical hospitality alone. Hebrews 13, verse 6 reminds us that God will never leave us or forsake us. The Lord is my helper, therefore I will not be afraid. The preacher and writer to Hebrews knows that this sort of just hospitality requires trust in God, and that when we practice this radical hospitality, we will probably be afraid at times because it breaks the rules and it sets new rules and it creates new boundaries that are expansive and wide and inviting. Crossroads, this is who we are as a church and who we are always striving to be. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a MOPS meeting and I met a mom who drives 40 minutes to come be part of this community twice a month. I know we support NAMI groups, we have faith and grief sharing groups, we have all sorts of ways that we are trying to invite the community, those that are hurting and struggling and anxious, to come here and be fed at this table. Tonight, we will be inviting some more guests into our church. Our Family Promise guests will be coming to Hot Crossroads. And for the next week, these folks who are homeless, who are struggling to make their way, will find a warm shelter. They will have meals at tables with table hosts from each of you. And they will have an opportunity to connect and find this church space as their home. They come as strangers from various backgrounds and journeys, and hopefully, I know, I've heard this from you, we will see them as friends and learn their names and their journey and pray for them and walk with them. What a gift that we can provide them not only a shelter, that's one thing, to go a step farther and provide them welcome and human connection, treating them with the dignity they deserve because they too are children of God. Friends, our world is so hungry for this sort of hospitality, and I can't think of anything more important, more faithful for us to continue to do and seek to expand is providing this sort of hospitality, not to change people, but where change can take place. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.